The perspective column is entitled Ending Hunger Could Bring Us Together. It's written by Arthur Simon, who is the founder and president emeritus of Bread for the World and is the former pastor of Trinity Lower East Side Lutheran Parish in New York City. The world's richest nation, our own, is deeply scarred by economic and racial inequalities that leave 37 million Americans, including one out of every six children, in households of food insecurity. Such hunger in a nation as prosperous as ours grieves God and shames all of us. Yet ending hunger here is easily within reach, and doing so would cost less than it does to support our current level of hunger, in the same way that vaccinations save rather than add to the cost of health care. It would also reduce widespread suffering and help heal our bitterly divided nation. But ending hunger requires government leadership, and that depends in large part on us exercising our calling as Christians in the political arena. We often resist that. Many prefer private charity because it's thought to be the most direct and effective way to help hungry people. Charity is not only the favorite, but often the only response of local congregations. Charity does much good in alleviating hunger, but the charitable efforts of all Americans combined don't come anywhere close to ending hunger. Missing is an officially mandated goal and process for bringing hunger in America to near zero. For that, government leadership is essential. No other entity can act for the nation as a whole or summon the nation's resources for achieving it. Government, too, is an instrument of God's love to call upon when the scale of suffering exceeds the capability of our voluntary efforts. Imagine that 8 grocery bags represent all food assistance for Americans in need. How many of those bags represent food given through private charities, and how many through government programs? When I ask that question of church groups, they consistently guess that charities account for most of the food, and usually by wide margins. They are surprised to learn that 7 of those bags, or 87%, represent federal food assistance, and only 1 bag, that's 13%, comes from charities. Why this widely mistaken impression? Well, one reason is that generally American churches consistently promote charitable food relief but rarely urge more government action against hunger. By placing efforts against hunger on only the 1 bag, do we not risk perpetuating hunger by our silence about government policies that could greatly reduce hunger? And do we convey the message that it's okay for us to duck our calling as Christian citizens when it comes to justice for hungry people? Doing so would contradict Martin Luther's understanding of life in Christ and love for the neighbor as embracing all aspects of life, including our important responsibility as citizens, especially with a government of we the people. In my book, Silence Can Kill, Speaking Up to End Hunger and Make Our Economy Work for Everyone, I maintain that erasing hunger is such a basic, morally decent goal that it could attract a growing support across political lines and give all of us a renewed sense of hope in our democracy. With guaranteed annual targets for getting from here to there, we could end hunger within a few years. And the best way of reducing hunger would be for people to have work and wages that lift them well above the poverty line. But that won't happen quickly or completely, and those who, for good reasons, cannot or should not work also need to be well nourished. Government assistance programs such as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps, would fill remaining gaps to assure adequate nutrition. Charities would continue to serve people, though not as many, when fewer face food shortages. Once the goal to end hunger is set, the process of determining the actions to get there, and the benchmarks for measuring progress and keeping it on schedule, would show deep connections between hunger and, for example, poverty, job creation, housing, education, family erosion, and racial injustice. In this way, ending hunger could become the catalyst to bring us together around related inequalities that currently tie us in knots. Better understanding of such connections would give policymakers, as well as the public, new insights on how we might respond with economic and social reforms. People tend to speak past each other regarding the main cause of hunger and poverty. Conservatives see deficient personal behavior, while progressives see harsh economic barriers. And hunger never ends. But when we trade insights rather than dogmatic certainties, we can make headway. Remarkably, in rare displays of bipartisanship over the last couple of years, Congress has rejected drastic cuts in both domestic and international food and poverty assistance. Instead, Congress improved and expanded them, thanks in large part to growing public support from churches and citizen advocates. This suggests that we could be near a turning point and might be close, perhaps even in the next Congress, to making ending hunger a nonpartisan cause. All of us should give it a big boost.